Welcome to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
Summer.
Yeah, he was around last year. I asked the boss if she wanted to go against it. No, we saw it last year. So, we move ahead.
He will miss you.
33 after the hour. That's our good day chime time.
Sounds like you're going out on the good ship Dudley Pop.
I'm digging out. I got my all of my boxes from the move, and I'm now getting some of my sound effects back again.
Great.
All right. Doug, on the Good Day program, with my friends Jennifer Horn and Rich McFadden. The history of the presidency is quite interesting in our country. The candidates don't often confront the question outwardly. Are you healthy enough to be the president? People look at Hillary Clinton and say, oh, she's sick and old.
That's
look
the
at
one
Donald
that people
Trump.
Are really worried about, yeah.
He's sick and old. You look at, no, he's not. You look at Bernie Sanders, he's old. And so look at him. So Hillary
Donald
is 69.
Donald Trump is not sick. Remember, he's the healthiest specimen of a man, according to his doctor.
According to him. Donald Trump is 69. Hillary Clinton is 69. Bernie Sanders will be 75 in a couple of months. So to use that logic, the person we should be voting for is Ted Cruz. And if you want to lose, make sure you vote for Cruz.
He's only, Kasich, what, 43 or 44?
And he's 44. All right. So let's go back. Speaking of 44, there have been 44 American presidents. 8 of them have died in office, of whom 4 died of illnesses or natural causes. William Henry Harrison was the first. Let's see here. As a matter of fact, on this day in 1841, his Vice President Tyler moved in to take power. Harrison had died the day before. The succession rules were not clear, but Tyler asserted he was now president, setting the blueprint for the future. He was never sworn in, which is interesting. So then you move ahead. Harrison died of pneumonia. He had a long inaugural address, freezing weather, got sick, died. He was president for, about a month? Zachary Taylor was the next president to die of an illness in office in 1850. And then Warren Harding, excuse me, in 1923. Franklin Roosevelt had a cerebral hemorrhage, suffered with polio through much of his tenure. He had a cerebral hemorrhage and died in 1945. Hillary Clinton trying to deflect concerns about her concussion a couple of years ago and the blood clot. You look at all of these things and you wonder, again, whether this ought to be a question. Is it a question? It isn't really for me, but that's just me. I would not vote for Bernie Sanders because of his age. I would not vote for anybody because of their age. I would be a hypocrite if I didn't vote for somebody because of his age, because I tell you that age is just a BS number. It has nothing to do with what's really going on in your body. Do you get more infirmed because you have natural progression to get older? Yes. But do you automatically get sick because you're a certain age? No. It's how you take care of yourself. And so Bernie Sanders doesn't look like he's taken particularly good care of himself over the years, but he comes from decent genes. Trump has had, how do I say this without sounding like a jerk? He's had a rich man's life of privilege, but I don't think he's abused it. A lot of people who have money abuse it and their
lifestyle. Yeah, I don't see him as
lifestyle.
A big drinker,
no,
druggy
I don't
guy.
No, yeah. Not a party guy. No, he's a worker. I mean, this guy works all the time. That's what he does. And so what do we say about the rest of the, yeah, I think Ted Cruz looks the unhealthiest of all of them, frankly. And that's
really?
Not just because I don't like him. I think he looks sick. He's got
many
big circles under his eyes.
Many people speculate that there's
pasty.
Something going, something going on with Hillary Clinton, and that's why she has the cough, and that's why she passes out. She, you know,
when
there's
did
a
she
lot
pass
of,
out last?
I don't remember.
No.
But
she
it
passed
hasn't
out,
been,
but it was more, once I
It was a while ago,
out.
But like after somebody said that part concussion. Of the reason she disappeared and was late coming back to the debate stage when she was in the bathroom is because she was having health issues. And
really?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, she
I
doesn't mean, look very healthy.
Hillary doesn't?
No.
I mean, she has known heart problems.
She has, what are the known heart problems? I'm not sure that that's, she has cardiovascular issues.
Correct.
But does she have heart problems? They're two different things. And I'm not her apologist, but I think we ought to have the right jargon because there are a lot of reasons and enough reason not to vote for some of these people.
There's a book that Ed Klein wrote. Ed Klein
was a Republican strategist, wasn't he?
Right. He's written a book on Hillary Clinton called Unlikable. And I had
I'm sure
him
that
on.
That's not biased.
Right.
Oh, very.
I read the book because I had him on my radio show in Southern California, and I did a live event with him. Interesting book. It's not all bad about Hillary Clinton, by the way. It's really kind of an interesting look, and you take it with a grain of salt. But he's the one that intimates that she has a lot of severe health problems that she's withholding information on.
Mm-hmm.
And but have we seen, because don't they all have to be checked up by doctors? I mean,
yes,
have we seen her doctor?
Yeah.
Newsmax has it.
So,
when you search Hillary
Newsmax,
Clinton.
There's another right. objective
well,
point of view.
There's a couple of ones on her side that have had health articles when I just did a quick search. But apparently she fell and fractured her elbow. She's got the coughing fits. She, in late 2012, she fainted and had a concussion, the blood clot after the fall,
mm-hmm.
Prism glasses for double vision, prescription blood thinners reported by AP in 2015. Along with her blood thinner, she takes a thyroid hormone replacement thing. That's no mm-hmm. big deal. Who cares?
No, I do with her adrenal things.
Let me see. In May of 2014, the Washington Post reported that Karl Rove distanced himself from a report that said she had brain damage.
Yeah. He should look in the mirror.
Right, yeah. And Bill Clinton says recovery took 6 months, Fox News reported, in 2014 after she fell.
Yeah. All right. So much about that. Here's, speaking of falling, I want to focus on something that's very real and very dangerous. How many of you, the reason I'm thinking about this is because it happened to me the other night. I was coming back from taking Bob home. We were moving into the house, and it was...
And Bob's our general manager.
Bob
here.
Is our general manager, and he'd been working here to help me build a... Not help me, he did it on his own, build a studio, which he did a magnificent job. It was really great, much better than what I had before. So anyway, I brought him home, and it was late. We'd been up, and I've been up since 4 o'clock in the morning. And it was like, I took him about 8 o'clock, I think, and I drove him down, and then I came back again. And I was on 495, and I got really groggy. And I don't usually get this groggy, but I found myself drifting. I said, I called Meredith, but she wasn't, I don't know where she was, but usually when I get into this circumstance, I'll call her or she'll call me, and we'll talk while we're driving. And so when I saw this, I thought it was worth a mention for all of you, because it's a wake-up, pardon the pun, a wake-up call. Not drunk driving, but driving while drowsy is a difficult and almost dangerous epidemic. Last year, there were 1.2 million crashes, 500,000 injuries, 8,000 people were killed because of driving for a long time. There's some people I remember, heavens. There are plenty of times, Richie, when I've been going across country doing this program, I would drive 18. I'd be on the air for five hours. I'd drive for 18 hours, sleep for a couple of hours, do the program, and then Charlotte and I jump in the car and just keep going. A lot of people will drive across. My son has driven across country more times than I have, and he would go for 24 hours. I mean, one time he just drove straight through.
It's
he didn't
so
stop.
Bad.
And
it's
it really
so bad.
Is. You drink coffee and you stay awake, but it's not. No, it's not good. So... In this, we talk about drinking and driving. If you are if you've pulled an all-nighter driving, you are just as dangerous on the road as somebody who's behind the wheel after a night of drinking. So this is a very, very important I think, you know, this would be a good commercial for Uber or Lyft or something. You know, if you're really feeling like this, Uber gets calls from people who are at bars to bring them home.
Yep.
Well, if you're in a circumstance where you're drowsy and you're not in your car, but you're thinking of driving home and it's more than a couple of miles, you're a danger. You're a menace on the highways, and you should call some friend or somebody, or call Uber, do something to keep yourself off of the off the highway. National Sleep Foundation has a poll that shows 60% of Americans admit to driving while feeling sleepy. 37% admit to actually having fallen asleep at the wheel in the past year. You realize how incredible that is? You wouldn't drink and drive your children to school, yet more than half of Americans put themselves and their families at risk by driving early in the morning while they're still drowsy. They get up, they put on their bathrobe, they get this is another whole thing. Why the hell aren't you having your kids get on the bus or walk to school or drive or take their bike or something? For God's sakes. Do you know, well, I think I said this to you, maybe it was while you were gone, Jennifer. Do you know what the number one biggest category in Los Angeles for Uber is?
I don't know.
Bringing children to school.
That's awesome.
Seriously?
That's their number one category of business. Picking up children, and this is Los Angeles County, bringing them to school.
This is crazy.
It really is crazy. I mean, that's a whole different thing right there.
Let me throw another crazy scene while we're on this whole thing about cars. Yeah. Self-driving cars are coming, right? We all know that eventually they're going to be here. Okay, so now they're starting to go through certain scenarios that could be interesting with self-driving cars. For example, should a self-driving car kill its passengers in a greater good scenario? Like if you're in a self-driving car and you've just turned a corner and you find that you're on an unavoidable collision course with a group of 10 pedestrians. Should the car drive itself off the road to not hit those pedestrians, even if it could kill its passengers?
And the answer is?
It's up for debate.
Oh, okay. So this is an ethical, moral...
It's an ethical, moral question for self-driving cars.
Mm-hmm.
What would the computer in the car be programmed to do?
Mm-hmm. Boy, isn't that fascinating?
Think about that.
My God. That is. Woo-wee. All right. In a moment, the story of a man who takes possession of a plane. Wait till you hear this story. Up next here on Good Day.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Would you like an easy way to increase your smarts and maybe even predict the future? Well, this trick may not turn you into a Nostradamus, but here's the science of it. So you've heard the old saying, you are what you eat. Well, you are what you read, too. For instance, it's a widely known fact that reading romance novels improves your love life. But what's known about those who prefer science fiction? Well, it makes you smarter. All booksellers agree that science fiction readers tend to be better educated. And if you catch yourself thinking and reading about the future, you might just find yourself better able to predict it. What's the cheap psychological trick? Reading science fiction is akin to studying rocket science. Your smarts will achieve greater liftoff. Contact me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY TV.
Today on App Check, food spotting rates dishes, not restaurants. It's a social database of pictures of food with user comments. And it actually works.
Cool.
Food spotting. It's a hit.
Have back taxes taken control of your life, your bank account, your paycheck? It's time to take back control and avoid tax liens, bank levies, garnished wages, and criminal charges. Take control today and call U.S. Tax Shield now at 800-524-6201. Think green.
Harrison with you. What used to be a quality of water fit only for golf courses and interstate parkways may be the new normal for parts of Texas. Wastewater, or more politely called reclaimed water, will double in the next number of years and likely surpass never-before-touched clean water. The Texas government plans to blend treated effluent with what they're calling more natural waters to supplant the ongoing drought considered a result of expanding man-made climate change. From the Greeniverse.
Think Green with Harrison at thinkgreenradio.com.
If you're an inventor who would like to attempt to have your idea or invention patented and submitted to industry, call InventHelp. They have free information for you. Call 1-800-405-9878. That's 1-800-405-9878.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This all-star was a potent scorer for the Dallas Mavericks in the 1980s. He scored 17,000 points in his 13 NBA seasons, making him the Mavs' second all-time leading scorer.
Blackman drives. Bowie is there. Blackman scores anyway.
So where is Rolando Blackman now? Rolando played three seasons in Europe in the mid-90s before finally retiring. He's currently an assistant coach with the Turkish national team and helped lead them to a silver medal in the 2010 World Championships. Rolando rejoined the Mavericks in 2005 and is currently the team's director of basketball development.
You've got to make sure and understand what the talent pool is all about and keep an eye on who's coming, who's playing, and who can really help your team to win.
Sounds like Mark Cuban owes somebody a raise. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Tired of high cable bills? Call 888-759-MYTV. With packages as low as $19.99 for four rooms, you can't go wrong. Call now, 888-759-MYTV.
All right, we all know, by the way, it's 48 past the hour on the Good Day program. Jennifer, Richie, and Doug, if you've been frustrated by a delay and the airline doesn't respond to your complaints, we all know, excuse me, for the most part, airlines ignore you. So here's what happened, excuse me, to one circumstance. A passenger who has gone to the next level, he waited so long for compensation over a marathon mechanical delay, he threatened to impound the plane. He went to court and he got an order from the court. This is a German traveler using Thomas Cook Airways. This guy sat on a plane for 22 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
And because regulations in Europe entitled passengers to get compensation, the airline didn't.
If you sit on it for 24 hours, you own it.
So he eventually approached a claims company. They got a lawyer. They took the matter to court. And so now they have an injunction to ground a plane until this guy is paid.
Wow.
I thought there was pretty out there. Remember that. Yeah, I mean, you'll get paid fast. It's amazing. But the airlines, you know what they're all about. They're not interested in you, that's for sure. 51 after the hour here on Good Day.